You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Gary Capewell with you on the latest edition. We're looking ahead to Monday's action. Mr. Capewell, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Alex. Are you well?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I thought you were.
Oh, stop it. You've had a pleasant enough weekend so far because you were at Newmarket yesterday, you lucky devil.
I was working.
Oh, yeah.
I was working, yeah.
Makes a change, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I was working. But yes, I was there. Obviously, it was a... It's a crazy Saturday. I can't imagine what it must have been like on the radio or in the betting shops with, what, 8-odd meetings, was there?
Yeah, it was. It was a little busy.
With 2 jumps meetings as well, I think, wasn't
there? Yeah, there was one.
Certainly one, and then 2 meetings in Ireland, sorry. I think we could do without one of those for the future, couldn't we, really? But I think it was clever how they spaced the races out in terms of the quality of them. Mm. And having been at Newmarket before, when the July Cup is quite early on the card, I actually preferred it towards the end.
It gives you something to look forward to, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it built up the day quite well, and it meant that all the sort of big races, I assume, anyway, because I obviously was working, so I didn't get to watch any of the coverage per se, but
yes.
I assume it meant that all the biggish races got the build-up they deserved, which hasn't been the case every year. So, yes, I think they spaced it out a bit better, and... I don't know what sort of the effect on turnover was, but just reading in the Racing Post this morning, seems that it was probably a little bit better in terms of turnover than it was a few years ago, and that will probably be due to how that they spaced the races out. So, positive for a change.
What about 10 sovereigns?
Yeah.
That was something.
Some gamble was landed as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, finished behind advertising the Commonwealth Cup, and has reversed that form in no uncertain terms. I actually thought, having watched him at Ascot, there was obviously something ailing him. His head carriage was completely different to how it was on Saturday afternoon. And obviously they did split into two groups. It looked like it could get a little bit messy. I mean, there was no fluke about the victory. He returned, obviously, back to his sort of his two-year-old best.
Mm.
And they obviously... You know, they obviously had a little bit of an issue before the Ascot race, which we obviously didn't realise at the time. But obviously, Aidan said after that, and after the winning interview, and you know, to win by 2¾ lengths from advertised, with Stable Comparing Union, you know, Faradan back in third. It was an extremely impressive performance, and we didn't see where he goes next. I mean, obviously, he's got the Sprint Cup and the Nunthorpe as potential targets. Whether he'd be sort of speedy enough for York over five, I have my slight doubts. I think he's probably going to be better at... I think this is his trip. I think he could win over five, but you do, especially at somewhere like York, you just wonder whether six might be sort of better for him. And I think that race at Haydock probably fits in perfectly, really.
You'd imagine so, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Well, I suppose, you know, he could easily run in both, but... The lads will have the final say.
They will. What else caught your eye at Newmarket? Was there anything else that really...
Mystery Power won the Superlative Stakes quite nicely. And I was impressed with how he strode out to the line, because he was challenged by Juan Alcano at various stages throughout that contest. And
he's lovely as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're two nice, two pretty smart two-year-olds, and, you know, there'll be plenty of races to be won with them. For the rest of the card, I mean, there was no sort of stands. I mean, Vader can bounce back to form in the Bunbury Cup.
Mm.
Monte KL, he's a huge horse, he is, by the way. He won.
He was a big drifter.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah, I didn't realise, didn't really appreciate it at the time.
Went off outsider of the five.
Yeah, which obviously it was sort of a very tight-knit handicap.
Yeah.
But it was surprising to see he went off outsiders. And there was another winner for Richard Spencer, a yard that had a double at Newbury, I think it was on Thursday, or certainly had a couple of winners, certainly been in amongst the winners of late. And I was impressed with how she won that for the handicap, fending off Sally Ale, and they pulled a long way clear of the third. The third is the horse to take out of that race moving forward for next time, I think, though, Dupioni, because she didn't get the clearest of runs through, which, well, it does actually say that in the form comments, but yeah, just didn't get the best of luck in running, so might be one for the tracker.
And I know you said you didn't catch any of the outside racing, if you like, from Newmarket yesterday, but we did have an unfortunate incident last year where we lost Pete the Bank, and that was absolutely devastating, because as well we heard that he'd walked onto the horse ambulance, so you then assume that things are looking up.
I did actually manage to see the end of that race, and was watching the race in the broadcast office with Stephen and Hayley Moore, and she said as they were going over the line he'd gone wrong, and you could actually tell.
It was horrible.
So in hindsight he did well to hold on, but yes, it's a rather sad end to proceedings.
Absolutely.
How that planned out.
And you won't have seen any of the action at York, but Jamie Spencer gave two of the most...
I saw Escobar.
Yeah, that was one side of Jamie Spencer. And then on Mancini, he was...
Yeah, that annoyed me because I'd backed the second.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he is a jockey that does get almost pigeonholed into giving the same ride for everything. At York yesterday, he was on it. He was on setting sail as well in the John Smiths. He managed to pick up a 2-day ban for how he came out the stalls because he wiped out nearly half the field.
I didn't notice that. Right, okay.
So it was an up and down day for him, but
yes,
particularly on Escobar. I mean, in reality, what's he done on that horse? Very little, but it looked amazing.
Obviously, no, it's always said, isn't it? But it was a typical Jamie Spencer ride.
Yes,
full of confidence, and you could see the horse. You know, that sort of confidence translated onto the horse as well.
We're going to talk about Monday's action.
We are.
There'll be more, by the way, on what's happened this weekend in the Monday jury, which will be covered in tomorrow's podcast. So make sure you tune in for that. We've got racing. It's quite a busy day, actually, on Monday. Air and Rip and the two meetings in the afternoon. We've got Windsor and Wolverhampton in the evening. Downpatrick starts at 3 o'clock over in Ireland. And Killarney starts at 5:50.
I think it's a bank holiday in Ireland, I think. Could be wrong.
But either way, six meetings through the course of the day in both the UK and Ireland. So plenty to get your teeth stuck into. It may not be of the highest quality, Capers. But it's a Monday. What do you expect?
Exactly.
We're going to start there with the 4:10.
Yes, very competitive. Well, I say competitive handicap for the money. It's and being in class two, I think they'll be a bit disappointed, actually. Crown Thought is out of this. He ran at York just yesterday, of course. And I think the horse that interests me most in this race is the bottom weight Boston George, who is going up in trip. He was a winner at Newcastle last October. That was obviously in novice company. And that form has worked out okay as well. The second that day, Dancing Boy, come out and won on his seasonal return at Red Collars. Hasn't done as much in his last two outings, but did give the form a little bit of a boost. And he was second behind a William Haggis trained runner, Destination, at Wetherby back in May. Obviously, he's had a little bit of a break since then. Destination, the horse that beat him, has obviously finished second a couple of times. Subsequently, once behind a Mark Johnston trained runner at Yarmouth on its most recent outing, that was in the class two. So I think there's every chance this horse is fairly well handicapped. Obviously, he comes up against four horses who have won here previously. Ventura Naitu's won off a higher mark than this in the past. Daniel's Flyer, who's going up in trip, and is a bit of a probably better over six or seven furlongs. Nicholas T, who's been placed, I think, in this race a couple of times in the past, and Club Wexford, who's unbeaten over the course and distance. He's 3 from 3 here, so he won't have everything his own way, Boston George, but he's a 3-year-old down at the bottom. He's getting weight, they're claiming off him. I just think he's easily the most interesting runner that we don't know a huge amount about, so I'll go for him on his handicap debut.
That's in the 4:10 at Ayr. The other race we're going to focus on comes at 7:30 from Windsor, and it's a class 3 handicap for sprinters. Now, I think I'm right in saying that Tom Morley will be in the Racing Radio studio tomorrow.
Right.
Which is interesting because there's Jumeirah Bridge for Robert Cowell, who runs here. Royal Berth only ran 2 days ago on Saturday, but is down to run again as we record this for Stuart Williams. Mm-hmm. And also Dashas, who ran 3 days ago for Stuart Williams, also down to run. So Mr. Morley may be able to give you a bit of a weigh in if you do tune into Racing Radio tomorrow.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously, you know, the top one, Jumeirah Bridge, won last time out at Sandown. He's gone at £4 for that victory. He'd had a wind operation before that run, so that was perhaps an aiding factor to the improved performance. Obviously, Royal Berth, we know all about. Finished down the field at Ascot the other day. And Dachas, who ran at York, I think, on Friday. So, he likes to keep these sprinters busy, which is, you know, often the case with quite a lot of runners, isn't it? But these sprinters, they do tend to sort of run quite a lot. They're quite versatile in that regard. I'm happy to pass all those over, though. I'm going to go for a horse who's back down to his last winning mark and is coming back onto the turf. Do You for Richard Guest. Finished fourth at Chelmsford in a decent enough contest the other day when he was last seen. He was running on that day. That was over 5 furlongs. Prior to that, he'd been third at Chelmsford over this trip and again putting his best work in the closing stages. That was off higher marks than what he's running off here, though. He's now back down to a mark of 88, which he actually won off, and that came in the Sprint Series finale here at Windsor in August of last year. So back down to his last winning mark. Should imagine perhaps the final might well be the overall sort of long-term aim. But even still, he's well handicapped. He's going to get the race run to suit him. There's plenty of horses that like to go forward here. So You Don't Do You will be my pick.
There you go. Couple of fancies then. One at Ayr, one at Windsor for Monday's action. Enjoy it, Gary. And the same to you, listeners. And we'll catch up with you soon on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.